morning.
Well, hey, friends, welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and a health research. Hope you guys had a fantastic weekend, Father's Day weekend. I had a great time with my kids. Fantastic time. Great time. Got a lot of sun and enjoyed them. And so we're bringing you more news back to the show again. And if you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us at Team Health Masters and thebrowershow.com. Make sure you're getting your updates here at the top. I told you guys, go right to the top of the screen, click get updates, sign up for the weekly newsletter, Brower Show and Team Health Masters. I would click both of them. Sales, specials, discounts, kits, three packs, everything we have, and all the daily show updates so you can see what's going on every single day with all of our wild graphics we have going on here and updates every day. And be sure the product of the week, y'all voted in it one. I got more in stock for y'all. If you need more, I got more. If you want a lot more, I got a lot more. D3.
You're acting like you're insane. This is almost,
maybe I am. I'm insane that people don't have to stay sick all the time.
You're crazy enough to believe that everybody can be healthy all
the time. Yeah, I mean, come on now. So if you guys need it, we got it. Give us a call or email us, Team Health Masters. Over 20% off right now for the D3 10,000 K2. Last week, I talked in the detail on it on Doug's show and our show about why D3 is so important, even during the summer. A lot of people think they're going to have high levels of D3. They might go up slightly from the sun, but in most cases, people aren't getting enough regular sun because it's not the length of time in the sun. It's the regular exposure to sun that they showed in the research study. So going out and getting burnt for 8 hours in one day isn't going to dramatically increase your D3 levels. And so they're talking about 20 to 30 minutes every day.
Getting burnt on red basically will dramatically increase your wrinkle level.
And sun cancer. Skin cancer.
Yeah, I was at the beach and they had this hotel and they had like three different types of sunscreen, you know, SPF 10, 30, and 50. For free. It was free. Just right there at the counter. You they don't want their clientele getting torched.
Getting burnt.
Yeah.
Well, some of it's kind of ridiculous. When we start at like SPF 50 and SPF 70, I'm like,
yeah, but you sweat it off anyhow. It's not like it's going to
stay on. Well, not sweat it off. Some of that stuff's loaded with chemicals. And you're absorbing it through your skin all day, too.
That's awful. But I tell you, don't ever use PABA. Isn't it PABA? Paraminobenzoic acid?
One of them.
Yeah, it's one of the bad ones.
Well, there's one, too, thing to be aware of, because I had this happen the other day. I'm going to cover this real briefly. I had this happen with actually my daughter, Kendall. Be very cautious on long exposure in public pools, especially ones that may even be private, that have a large amount of chemicals added to them. This is coming out more and more now. They're discussing, Dr. Lisa Gartenberg has been discussing now how more people are coming in with eye issues and skin issues, especially ones that swim in pools on a regular basis.
And I don't do public pools.
I know. That's the thing. And I know your pool, it stays pretty clean, but you don't use a bunch of chemicals.
It stays pretty green.
It's not that green.
And it stays green. Every 2 days, you have to vacuum, so it gets green.
I'd rather have that, though, than have... So what happened was Kendall went to a friend's house the other day, and they went swimming, and I guess they had the pool treated, and they didn't bother to tell anybody, and she came back, and she was, like, whelping up. She's all red blotches all over. And I put some basically cream on there to calm it down. It got a little bit better. The next morning, it was just as bad again. And I started calling up everybody as far as over there. I said, what's going on? I think they treated the pool with too many chemicals. And they talk about it right here. They said the issue is a lot of pool and disinfectants, they use chlorine and bromine, and it forms disinfection byproducts when combined with materials in the water. It says such materials include human body excretions of sweat, urine, and saliva, painkillers, personal care products, sunscreens, cosmetics, lotions, all this stuff that ends up being in the water. And then it mixes with basically chlorine and bromine, and it causes a significant amount of byproducts that can cause severe skin irritation and eye irritation. So that's just one thing to be aware of. If you do have a pool, try to use the least amount of chemicals as possible. I know it's hard. Down here in Florida, everybody wants their pools to be crystally bright and pure all the time.
It causes chemical burns. Also the teeth effects, it says.
Yeah. The chlorine in pools can cause bladder, brown tartar.
Bladder cancer?
Yep.
Wow.
And especially, too, the inhalation. It says studies suggest that exposure does increase higher intensities of physical activity when you're breathing in, and you're breathing in basically a bunch of chlorine gas if it's just been treated recently.
You know, it's interesting. You used to have one of those, what do you call it? salt machines.
Yes, those are actually pretty good, though.
Well, but here's the problem with the salt machines. They release free chlorine gas into the swimming pool.
Oh, does it really?
Oh, yeah. I remember I had it for years, and suddenly I look up one day, and all my ceiling fans are rusted from the chlorine.
Really? I forgot about that.
All of the screws holding the screen room together are rusted.
You didn't think it had anything to do with the salt?
No, the salt is broken down into sodium chloride. So what happens, the chlorine gas is released, and you have to get the salt and discharge it and dump it every so often.
Okay.
But the chlorine gas is released, and I remember we looked at that one house over here on Lake Juliana, remember?
Yes.
And we went into the room where they have their salt generator, and everything was rusted
was
and corroded.
You're right.
All the electronic panels, everything was rusted and corroded. And chlorine is a very, very, very strong compound, and it's looking for electrons. It will corrode about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, chlorine is rough, especially chlorine gas. They use it in World War I, you know, as far as a trench warfare.
They ended up banning it so bad.
Yeah, but they would still use it. Oh, speaking of warfare, you know, Trump's sending an aircraft carrier over to the Middle East now.
What countries are going at it again?
Iran and Israel. Israel.
Aren't they in a fight every week, though?
Well, here's how it works, okay? I've got a home, and I'm in a neighborhood. This is a metaphor. Okay, and I walk over to my neighbor's house, and I take a hammer, and I basically bang out all the windows. Now the house is sitting here next to me, and they're watching me leave carrying my hammer, so they know it was me. And all of a sudden, the neighbors get all pissed off, and they come back over, they start banging my window.
Your window's out,
and I start screaming. They're picking on me, and everybody goes, "But you started it." I mean, Israel goes in. Blows up a bunch of stuff, unprovoked, and then all of a sudden, Iran says, okay, you know, watch this, and Israel goes, help America, and our 50 or so dual Israeli citizens in Congress get all jacked up, and then Donald Trump decides to send an aircraft group over. You know, if these boys and girls over there want to kill each other, my response is this, have at it, but leave us out of your loop.
My biggest thing, man, I've said this 50,000 times, and I'll say it 50,001 times. We have so many significant things we need to be focused and working on the United States. Getting involved in foreign engagements and foreign wars should not be our top-tier priority right now.
Archie Bunker said it so well the other day. I mean, I was watching when somebody sent me a clip for it. He was talking about the black people get mad. This is back in the 70s. They go running to the NAACP. Okay, and then if the Catholics get mad or if the Italians get mad, they go running to the Pope or running to, he said, Frank Sinatra, because, you know, he's involved with the mob. And then he said, you do anything to a Jew, this is what Archie says, he goes, the whole Israeli Air Force swoops down on you and destroys you. And the problem with it is that this time they started it. And you know what's interesting? They've lost about 3 F-35s now because they've got all the latest
equipment. Allegedly. I'll tell you right now, I don't know how much I believe either side.
Well, but
there's AI stuff coming out now.
Here's the thing. The electronics in the F-16s and the 35s that we send to Israel are different.
Oh, those are completely different platforms.
No. They don't even use the electronics that are normally in those airplanes. The Jews have developed their own set of electronics for these aircraft.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And so they don't want, because here's why. Remember when I was having lunch with Benjamin Netanyahu, who's not a friend, by the way, but I know him.
Didn't he run off? He's not even in Israel right now.
Well, he came back. He jumped to Greece real quick while all the bombs were dropping. But he's supposedly back now, if you want to believe that, or maybe a body double's back. But Benjamin Netanyahu told me, he said, to us, there were like 10 of us in that meeting for that lunch, he said that basically Israel's got back doors on all the computer systems globally.
Well, okay. I've heard that as far as my guys. Okay. I know that
this is Mossad.
Yeah, GRS.
And what's interesting about that is you think about it for a second, why do they not want the standard electronics in the airplanes that are coming to them?
Because they don't want us or anybody else to be able to
Hack into them. That's right. Because, you know, a lot of these things can be remote commanded.
Especially some of the new stuff.
Yeah, and so, you know, but so the whole thing about it is that does Israel want the United States involved in this? They don't really need the United States. They've already got air superiority over Iran now. And what's interesting, when Goering, who was the head of the Luftwaffe in World War II, he was standing outside of Berlin, and he was watching the P-51 Mustangs fly over.
Yeah.
And he looked up, and he said, because the Luftwaffe was pretty much done.
Yeah.
And he goes, das Krieg ist verloren. The war is lost.
Done.
He saw the P-51.
Well, air superiorities are always the most important aspect as far as warfare now.
Now they've destroyed a whole bunch of the ballistic missile silo things that they had over in Iran.
Well, I mean, for example, look at what's happening, you know, in the Middle East when we were over there. with, you know, when we first went to Fallujah and everything else, is that, you know, ground teams, even the Marines, I mean, it was rough going in Fallujah, but we had air superiority. Yeah. And when you got Overwatch, when you got drones, when you got F-16s, mm-hmm. that one movie that came out recently, if you guys go see it, it's really, really intense warfare. It's not a normal war movie. It's not happy. It's not fun. There's no music. There's nothing. There's no soundtrack. It's a straight war film from basically SEALs that were doing Overwatch. These SEALs are Army Rangers that were doing Overwatch from MARSOC.
What country?
It was in Mars. It was in Iraq.
Right.
Yeah. And so they got pinned down. But there's one scene. I'm not going to ruin the whole movie. You see it. They call in. They said, we need basically a low flyover. We need a show of force, is what they called it. And that basically F-16 came into the low flyover. I mean, it turned the whole entire city to dust for about a minute. It sucks everything up. And so when you have that type of superiority in a situation, you pretty much do anything you want.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, my condolences to the families of the people who passed away and died in that Air India crash last week. You know, we were not live Thursday and Friday, so we basically or Friday.
I covered it. I covered it on the show Thursday live, but it had just happened. Yeah, but so I didn't know much about it.
I've done a bunch of research on it as a pilot, and what ends up happening on a 787, this is speculation. Okay, the plane takes off, starts to climb, starts to stall, levels off, tries to get more flight speed, and it comes down and crashes. And it really wasn't a crash like nose down. It kind of like
Landed in a building.
Well, landed in because he couldn't control it. He wasn't producing enough power. And what happens is on those 787s, the engines are so powerful that they have to adjust them based upon the weight of the aircraft. And so what happens is a computer in the front of the airplane, and you tell it how much you weigh. And then it helps you to determine what the flap settings are, which create more lift. And it helps determine how much power it's going to put out to the engines to save the life of the engines. Normally, in the old days, you just have the pilot would have to be able to control that by putting more throttle to it. Now they don't have to do that anymore. The engines are determined by the weight and by the onboard computer. And to me, what looked like happened, and I'm not sure if this is what happened or not, because it was kind of a fuzzy video watching it, because it was a long ways away. The flaps on a 787 can be set anywhere from like 5% to 30% down drag. And what that does, that causes tremendous lift on the airplane from the wings. And to me, it looked like the flaps weren't set like that. I couldn't even tell there was any flap deployment at all. And when you take off, once you start getting to your speed that you need, you retract the flaps and you pull up your landing gear. And it looked like what happened is that the flaps were either retracted too soon, there wasn't enough flaps, or they weren't producing enough power. Because a lot of times what the airplanes will do when they start getting out of the airport area, they will reduce the power to the engines to reduce noise. But something horrible happened. I personally don't think it was a plane problem. I think it was a pilot error. The guy flying the right seat, the co-pilot, he only had about 1,000 hours of flight time. And I certainly hope and pray that they weren't allowing him to take that aircraft off without the supervision of the primary pilot. So anyhow, the captain. But so I feel bad for what happened over there. But because once an airplane reaches a certain level of altitude, like when they start climbing, it reaches what's called a critical angle of attack. And when that happens, that wing stops producing lift. And unless you're in an F-16 or F-18.
F-22. Yeah.
Because all you got to do is drop the hammer to it, it turns into a rocket ship. And the wings don't mean a whole lot. It kind of directs where you're going. But they don't have to produce the lift because you can go straight up vertical like this. And you can't do that with a big aircraft. It has to produce lift on the wings.
Yep.
That's what happened. But I don't know. Do you want to talk any more about these unruly Jews over in Israel and what they're doing, or we want to just talk about some health?
No, I want to talk about one of the most important things is sleep and rest.
Oh, there you go.
Why sleeping in total darkness is a big deal.
We've covered this
for many years. It says science showed that even low levels of light at night can disrupt sleep and long-term health. Now, before I get into this, because it does just address one thing. If you have, like, say, young children, they need a nightlight, or they're having bad dreams, and they need to go to the bathroom in the lights, so they don't run into things when they're really young, this isn't what they're addressing. This is primarily addressed towards adults and sleeping in more darkness. It says, while sleeping in darkness may seem obvious, researchers show that even a small amount of light, like the glow from your phone screen, a charger, can disrupt the body's internal clock, suppress melatonin, interfere with deep sleep. Over time, this increases the risk of developing chronic diseases like obesity, diabetes, depression, and cardiovascular diseases. Sleep is not merely a passive act of unconsciousness. It is an active process of repair and recalibration. The body's system only achieves euphoric homeostasis, true well-being, when the demands of the day are met with enough depth, timing, and continuity of sleep. Light at night interrupts this, even if subtly, and especially for those already vulnerable. When light comes with the will, when light combined with the will to stay alert, scrolling a phone, watching TV, it locks the brain into an acquisition mode, which postpones the entry into a reparative sleep cycle. Blue lights from screens are linked to reduced sleep quality and shorter sleep duration. On the other hand, researchers suggest that sleeping in a dark, cool environment supports melatonin production and promotes better physical and mental well-being. Even low levels of night can disrupt your circadian rhythm, the body's internal sleep-wake clock, leading to poor sleep quality. And you think about it, you know, our bodies were generally designed to sleep when the sun goes down. When the sun comes up, you wake back up. That's how our bodies are designed to respond to that. And so what happens is when you constantly have all this external light, you have a TV on in the middle of the night, you have your phone charger light on, your phone's lit up, you have another light in the other room, your blinds are open. All these are external lights that continue to cause issues with the disruption of sleep pattern. And so when I talk to a lot of people, because I get this phone call a lot, I get this email a lot, people can't sleep and they start having a lot of health problems. And I'm not joking when I tell you a lack of sleep and sleep deprivation will start causing mental problems.
Psychosis.
It will. And you can do it for a while. I mean, the Marines and all of them, they figured out you could go without sleep for a long time, but you start having significant problems after a while, all the way from dexterity to cognitive functioning.
Start hearing voices.
Start hearing things. Start hallucinating. Yeah. You've got to get some sleep. And so what happens is the first thing I start asking people, are you drinking anything stimulating at night? Any coffee, any caffeine, any tea? Okay, no. Are you eating late at night? That's one of the biggest things. What you eat later at night will also determine how you sleep. If you're eating a bunch of sugar and a bunch of refined carbohydrates, it's going to spike your insulin. Your insulin's going to be yo-yo in your blood sugar. You're going to be up and down. Eat a couple whole eggs before bed. One of the best things to do, even if you want to eat boiled eggs. That's great. Third thing. Look at your Wi-Fi. If you've got a Wi-Fi router near your room and that thing's juiced up all night producing 5G, it will cause issues in some people. Some people are more susceptible than others. Shut your Wi-Fi router off at night. That's a great option. If you can't do that because of some odd reason, I can't help you on that one. You just have to figure it out. The fourth thing is making sure you're getting the room as dark as possible. I have found over the years that there's a lot of little lights on stuff all the time. You turn a fan on, it's got a light on it. Sometimes TVs are off, but they still got a red light on. Chargers will have a light on. Your phone will be lighting up and down all night if people are talking to you. Turn your phone on D&D at night, unless you got something serious to contact, or you got something in business. If you're sleeping 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, nobody needs to talk to you. If you have kids that are home, you're not in an emergency, why in the world do you have your phone on full blast where it rings in the middle of the night? Unless you're on call or you're a nurse or something like that. Keep those lights off. And so what happens is the more you do that and the less lights you have, the better sleep you have. And then if you want to add into it, the total rest of the melatonin, the magnesium brain food, and the total rest. What is it? The sleep like a baby kit? There we are. Whoops. Those three right there are the best things you can put together. Sleep like a baby kit. Where we go? Right here. This is the one that actually Dad put together. Total rest.
It'll knock you out.
Melatonin, magnesium brain food. Great kit to throw in there. I get great results from it. I get a lot of people that get great results from it. So be sure to try these out if you need it. But try those tips that I just gave you if you want to try to get a better sleep at night, better rest, better recovery, better energy, better mental acuity. Everything is better after a good night's sleep. It really is.
Well, you know, the whole thing about it is that the Wi-Fi that's coming out of your Wi-Fi router is an energy wave.
It's exactly what it is.
It's like a radio wave.
Your body feels it.
And what happens is when the pineal gland picks up on it, because it goes right through your skull, the pineal gland thinks it's bright sunlight. It can't tell the difference.
Nope.
And so what happens is it's like you're laying out on the beach and you've had five cups of coffee and it's noon.
You're not sleeping.
You ain't sleeping. You may be walking 5 miles on the beach, but you ain't going to go to sleep. And what ends up happening is the body just doesn't want to down-regulate.
No.
Now, remember, because we're kind of a holographic, you know, being, and our energy field changes continually, and our DNA ebbs and flows out of another dimension like thousands of times a second. I covered this a few weeks ago. You know, our body has to have downtime in order to rebuild the image that is our body, the frequency that we are. And if you don't have that, the body can't rebuild it. And like Austin said, you end up with psychosis if you don't get enough sleep. Now, a lot of people start taking really strong sleep medication.
Yeah.
Be careful with that, because you can get up in the middle of the night and go driving and not even realize you're doing it.
Well, and not only that, those things can be very addictive. They can cause
all, they're very addictive.
They're very addictive. They can cause all types of issues. There have been numerous people that I've heard from that have taken drugs like Ambien, and suddenly they wake up and they're at a gas station at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And they don't know how they got there. I've heard that multiple times. They have no idea what happened. They just got in their car and drove off completely and totally incoherent. That's sketchy. Try the Total Rest First and Sleep Like a Baby kit.
Well, and you know, the problem with a lot of those medications are people get so addicted to them so quickly.
Yes.
And you know, here's the thing. The other thing, too, is like with purple sticks, with caffeine. You know, I can take a purple stick about 4 or 5 in the afternoon, and that's it. Done.
Yeah. Okay?
And now the other one, the attention factor. You know,
we love attention factor.
No, it's a great product, but you got to take it first thing in the morning.
Well, did you notice that that's one of the first things I ask people when they're telling me they're having problems sleeping? I say, what is your stimulant usage in winter? Are you drinking tea at night? Are you drinking green tea? Are you drinking coffee? Because I've talked to people because I had this personal problem way back in the day when I used to train late at night and I was really starting to kind of like rebuild the company and I had Hunter. I wasn't sleeping a lot. I'd go to the gym at 7, 8 o'clock at night. Well, back then I didn't know as much about caffeine. I was taking pre-workout. There's one on the market that was well known. It's called Jack 3D. It's not, it doesn't exist anymore, the original formula.
Like
it was
dying on it.
Well, Congress banned a lot of the drugs that had 1-dimethylamine in it, which later on we came to find out that it was a different methylated form of methamphetamine that got approved somehow. And that product, we couldn't figure it out because you take it, your workouts were insane, and you didn't need to sleep. Like, you're like, oh, I'm good. It's 1 in the morning. I can get one more work done. I'm like, man, why? We can't sleep like 8 hours after we took this stuff. This is a bit strong.
Well, the Nazi scientists gave a lot of that to the German troops.
Yeah.
They then marched for 4 days. They didn't have to worry about sleeping.
Well, yeah. And so all of a sudden, I was like, we're taking it for a while. I'm like, this doesn't seem very safe or healthy. And after then you start crashing on it. And then sure enough, it came out that that drug was completely banned. Congress like, yeah, we're not. You can't put this stuff in drugs and food products anymore and supplements. And the heart attacks, too. A bunch of Army guys had heart attacks on it.
Yeah.
They're taking 5 in the morning. Yeah, man, 2 scoops of Jack 3D. We're on a 10-mile ruck.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, so be careful of that stuff.
But the coffee is really important, guys, because the coffee elevates cortisol.
It does.
And that cortisol will keep you awake. When you wake up in the morning, okay, to break fast for your breakfast, break it the fast. That's funny how it says that, but that's what it is. You end up in a situation in which your cortisol goes up and it gets you out of bed in the morning because you're hungry. And that's the same thing. That's why I also say eat a couple of eggs before you go to bed.
Yep.
Because that keeps the cortisol from spiking first thing in the morning.
It doesn't spike
or in the middle of the night. Because there's nothing worse than waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning starving. And you go, oh, I'm hungry. And
yeah, I mean, the
cortisol goes up.
Only thing you can do, I remember that when I was in contest prep, the only thing you can do is you can chug like 16, 20 ounces of water. If you really are on a hard diet prep, you can't eat. It's 3 or 4 in the morning. But then the problem is then you wake up about 2 hours, 2 hours later and you got to go to the bathroom. Yeah. That's just, it's a cycle with that.
And the thing about it, the other thing too is if you've got a problem with your prostate, you know, use the prostate support to help keep it stable. That way you have to get up in the middle of the night and use the bathroom. I mean, I very rarely ever have to get up in the middle of the night unless I guzzled a bunch of water right before I went to bed.
I'm thirsty.
Well, yeah,
10 o'clock.
You take your vitamins like 2 minutes before you go to bed. You're swallowing your pills, and all of a sudden, like 3 hours later, you go, that's great.
That's great.
You know? And so just be very careful with that. Just limit your amount of water that you drink for about 2 to 3 hours before you go to sleep. That'll help with that. And take the prostate support if you've got issues with having to get up and urinate all the time.
And cut your screen time off between at least give yourself 15 to 20 minutes. They say 30 minutes is ideal.
And get the coffee out of your diet. Just get it out. Just use the purple sticks.
Oh, yeah. Purple sticks are best for that. But as far as scrolling on your phone, using your laptop, checking emails, try to cut that out about 20 to 30 minutes before you go to bed. That will be a huge
role. If you do it, make sure you get a blue screen blocker.
Yes.
You have to have a blue screen blocker. It's so and don't sit there on your bed by your bed and turn the telephone on and leave it by your pillow.
Oh yeah,
the people put their head. But y'all, if you want to give yourself brain cancer, do that kind of crazy stuff. But just keep the thing away from your head all night, because again, it's putting out. You know, it's a radio transmitter and receiver.
Now, what you can do at night, if you want to cut down on that, you put on airplane mode. Airplane mode cuts out all. It doesn't pick up anything.
I'll make it easy. Just turn it off. Unless you've got children that are somewhere that have to be in touch. And then if you got a landline, which people really don't have landlines anymore.
Landline.
What is a landline, right? And I remember I've got this intercom system in the house. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because it was all for the landline, because we used to have the office here. And I remember, I loved it because I could page the entire you know, house.
Kids, come to the kitchen. And they, oh, God, they hate
you
it.
You want to hear a funny story? When I built my house, I was obsessed with having a hard landline in the house.
It was impossible.
I wired it up. I got phone jacks, actual phone jacks in a brand new house, which nobody has, for a landline. Why I did it all is I wanted to wire it up, and it was good and great. Well, then we finished the house. I was like, you know what? AT&T is like the only one around that still has landline access. I called them up. They said, yeah, we can do that for you. It's going to be $180 a month for a landline.
You're kidding.
No.
I didn't know that.
I said, what do you mean $180 a month? Like, well, nobody in your area has a landline, so you've got to wire it up. There's going to be a wiring fee, and basically we have to have service for you. Like, there's no landlines in your area. I said, but I want a landline. They said, we'll give it to you $180 a month. I said, dude, my cell phone bill is like $60, $70 a month for everything. They said, yeah, that's what you want. So I have wiring for landline. I do not have a landline.
Well, it's funny because I was wired for landline, and then basically they hooked it up for me, but it's digital again.
No, they switched all to digital. Yeah,
it's not a real landline.
Now, you want a real hard, true AT&T landline, you're going to spend like a couple $1,000 a year keeping it active.
There's really no point.
There's really no point anymore. Now, this is another article talking about screens. It says heavy screen use and problematic behaviors feed into each other. And this is with young kids. It says children now are turning to screens as a coping mechanism for anxiety, depression, and social difficulties. So what's happening is now, they said kids are spending way too much time on screens. It's causing harm, and it's causing to exacerbate other underlying issues. New study of more than 300,000 children worldwide found that excessive device use is often an attempt for struggling children to cope with anxiety, depression, and social difficulties. Said, here's the issue with this, though. The study tracked children ages 10 and under over time and found that screen time led to socio-emotional problems, and socio-emotional problems turned into increased screen time. So they were cyclical. They went in a circle. They went back and forth. And it said this problem is then it turned into outward expression of aggression, hyperactivity. It said high screens use crowd out keys, protective behaviors like sleep. It says exercise and face-to-face interaction, it basically crowds that out. So it's no longer there. So what they're saying is be very cautious allowing your children to use screens, whether it be iPads or iPhones, as a way to cope or escape. Because what they're doing is they have a problem, they have an argument, they have something they're upset about, they're angry, they're trying to regulate their emotions. And what they do is then they go get on a screen. Well, then they get on the screen, it's causing more issues with the ability to cope with those problems when they get off the screen, so they go back to the screen again, and the screen becomes their dopamine trigger. And I've talked about this in detail, but again, this is another study that shows you how important it is to make sure your kids, if they do have access to a screen, using it for a very short time, if any. Instead, a five-year-old might get 60% supervised screen time, but an eight-year-old often uses screens alone. They said older children show stronger adverse effects, partly due to less supervision. When children are 4 years old, their behaviors often view more leniency. Tantrums and short attention spans may be seen as typical development stages that parents or caregivers can overlook. Later, however, the environment becomes much more structured and they have a higher time with self-control and social interaction, which is leading to them to use screens as a dopamine tool to basically try to cope with things. So be very, very cautious with this, my friends, because this is getting worse and worse and worse. And now we've got the wild world of AI. And I have seen some crazy videos in the last week. There's one that's been going viral with Bigfoot, AI Bigfoot, talking, running around. The other day, they did a full AI video. I have to find it. Bigfoot's out in the woods, and he gets a brand new GT3 RS. And he wrecks it into a tree. And it looks like it's a completely and totally real video. It's 100% AI generated. Not joking. I'll show you the video. And everybody's going, well, what is this actually going to turn into?
How did Bigfoot fit in the GT3 RS?
AI just shrinks him in proportions where he needs to. It's really weird. Very strange. And then the color of the car changes after the accident. Little glitches there with AI.
Wow.
But so now they're saying that a lot of this footage that we've been seeing with Iran and Israel is also some of its AI. Some of its video game footage is being reposted. Some of the F-35 stuff they showed is AI. I don't know. I'm not there. But I can tell you one thing. Young children being exposed to artificial intelligence videos that aren't at all accurate is going to massively skew their perception of reality when they start getting older. When they're watching videos right now and they think it's real and it looks doggone real, and all of a sudden they realize everything they've watched is fake, it's going to really skew their imagination and their minds. Just my opinion.
Well, the reality is they're going to lose perspective on what's real and what's
not. That's exactly what's happening. Nothing's going to be real.
Well, no, that's already what the internet is.
Yeah.
I mean, you everything's skewed. You know, you have dating apps that you go to and you think somebody looks like they should look like their photographs and they don't. You have, you know, you've got people that you want to have business with and you find out they're not even a real person or they're not the person they say they are. And you find out that basically suppliers using AI and everything turns into this giant what's real and not real.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've got the media lying about everything.
Yeah.
You know, and so now you're like, okay, that's what he said a minute ago. Supposedly we lost three F-35s and Israel did it, you know, over Iran. We don't know if that's true.
No, I don't know if any of it's true. There's a photo that got released, and it was completely AI. The people and the size of the F-35 didn't make sense. Or a vehicle. You could tell it was AI, and it got busted for being AI. Yeah. But it was one that we used. We got an F-35. I'm like, that's not an F-35. That's the largest F-35 I've ever seen in my life. The size of a boat.
No, but the problem that you run into is that when everything's alive, where do you find the truth? That's why the Word of God is the truth. That's the only thing we can go by is what the Bible says, because it was written thousands of years ago before all of this crazy digital enhancement with everything. So be really, really careful in what you believe and what you say. Yesterday, I was at Bach Tower Gardens for Father's Day.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because I was sitting there and met this guy who was with his son, and he took a picture for us, and he started asking us questions. You know, we start talking to him, and he starts talking to me about the world. And I said to him, I said, well, it's the world's not what you think it is. He said, well, how did Bach Tower get built? And I said, it's a giant Masonic structure. And he looked at me kind of funny. He goes, oh. And I said, what do you want to know? And so we ended up talking to him for almost 45 minutes. And remember the other day I told you, I said, if you want to know if somebody's interested in what you're saying, they ask you questions back, and they want
more
information. So it ended up being a 45-minute discussion, and what was interesting about it, I mean, I went all the way in, and he had his son with him. And so every time he'd say something, I'd say, your dad's right about this. And finally, he looked at his dad and said, I had no idea you were right about all this stuff. And I told him, I said, your dad's on point. And so then he started bringing all kinds of other theories in and other things, and I would tell him, I don't know about that, but I know about this. And so it was a very interesting discussion, and it took about 45 minutes, and I went all the way back to the ancient Canaanite religions with this, because he needed to realize who was in charge of the world and why Building 7 came down. And I told him, I said, the easiest way to look at it is, who runs the planet? The boys and girls who took down Building 7, period. That's just how it works, because nobody wants to talk about Building 7. The vast majority of the population, Austin, still to this day, does not know a third tower came down on 9/11.
No.
That's how much.
No, they don't.
I mean, we're talking about it. They took down a 60-story building, the Solomon building, and people don't even know what happened.
Nope. Everybody thinks it's always the Twin Towers.
About 80% of people don't even know what happened. I mean, that's how obfuscated the news is. And then Paul Craig Roberts has an interesting article. He goes, does Western civilization have enough belief to continue to exist? Now, I'm not going to read you the whole article, because he starts talking about the 14th Amendment and the federal government and about illegal aliens coming into the United States. And he starts talking about the Democrats being communists and all the rest of it. And he says it's not really possible for Trump to deport 30 million illegals, which is really not. And he goes, the United States has a political party, the Democrats, by control of its major cities and swing states, can steal elections at will. Now, think about that, Austin.
Yeah.
You know, they run Miami. They run all the major cities. They really do. In the 2024 presidential election, the American ruling establishment decided they would allow Trump to be returned to office, where he would be frustrated and defeated every term by the establishment's power. What they're doing is creating conflict and causing all kinds of chaos, because their mantra is, out of chaos will come a new world order. That's what this is all about. And then it goes on and it says Americans don't realize how far things have gone. They now have Hispanic, Asian, Arab, and other Muslim peoples and African immigrants as judges who are immigrant invaders themselves, presiding over local, state, and federal courts and police forces. He's right. And then he goes on to say, it's in his opinion, the Americans, like Europeans, have sat sucking their thumbs, entertaining themselves, watching Kim Kardashian's buttocks, I will add that, and being deceived by official narratives and multicultural brainwashing, and they have lost their country. Now, listen to what he says. I read this to read the last two paragraphs. If you look honestly at the U.S. today and at Britain, France, Germany, and Canada, and the rest, what is there to defend, Austin? He's asking, what is there to defend? Why would a white, heterosexual, straight male die for Washington or the U.K., or France, or Germany, or Canada, or any other countries that have repudiated their ethnic nationality? In other words, we're not Americans anymore. We're from it's just a conglomerate now of different people speaking different languages, like in the Tower of Babel. the most significant fact of our time is that the entire Western world is a dead man walking, bereft of the belief system that upheld Christianity, Western civilization, now routinely denounced in all major universities in the Western world. So what do we have left to support a country in the Middle East attacking another country in the Middle East that's being completely unprovoked? Is that where we've fallen down to as far as our belief structure? And see, the problem with Israel, and I'm just going to pick on them for another minute, is this. They control the money supply via the Rothschild banking cartels. Now, most Jews aren't even aware of any of this stuff, by the way, or they don't care, but they're not involved in it personally. They're not. Don't start blaming all of the Jews. This comes back to the ancient Canaanite religions running the planet. But here's the biggest problem they've got. Because of the Frankfurt School that has come in and destroyed and basically socially indoctrinated through cultural Marxism, the universities for almost the past 100 years, America is no longer America. And we have lost the ability to basically defend ourselves based upon the values that we have and what's espoused in the United States of America. Now, here's what the Rothschild banking cartel, who put back together Israel back in the 40s and who wants to push for the rebuilding of a third temple in order to bring the Antichrist into the world to rule, basically out of chaos will come a new world order. They have made one big mistake, and this is interesting to me. The vast majority of the people in the United States have gotten sick of Israel, Austin.
Yeah.
They've had enough of it. That we don't want to be involved in it anymore. We don't want to be involved in their wars. We don't want to be involved with any of it. And because they've destroyed Christianity, now listen to me, this is important that we understand this. The Christian principles that our country was once founded on is what allowed them to build Zionism, and through the Scofield Bible, through basically Scofield and through, you know, the Darby. And what ended up happening is because they came in and they destroyed Christianity now and destroyed the very values, the Scofield Reference Bible doesn't have the bite that it used to have, and the support of Israel doesn't have the bite it used to have, because a lot of people become secularized in the United States and they don't care about Israel and they don't care about it being talked about in the churches. They don't care because they're no longer being taught from the Scofield Reference Bible. So they have basically handicapped themselves. They were able to come in and control the churches and the universities and the theological seminaries through the use of the Scofield Reference Bible. But because they've come in now with cultural Marxism and tried to destroy Christianity, it no longer has the same bite or the same effect. The only thing that held together this support for Israel, the unwavering support for Israel, was the fact that the vast majority of people in the United States have been brainwashed from the Scofield Reference Bible, figuring Israel into the end times, and that we had to support Israel no matter what. They were taught that the only way that we'll have Jesus come back is that Israel has to basically be ruling the world, ruling the planet, whatever, so we have to support everything they want to do. Well, guess what? The Christians out there now aren't being taught that anymore in these independent churches. And secondly, a lot of the Christians no longer believe that because they realize that Tel Aviv in Israel is the number one homosexual destination in the world. And now they're starting to realize that a lot of the values espoused by Christianity they're diametrically opposed in Israel. So because of what they've done and how far they've pushed it to the other extreme, they've destroyed the very foundation of the Scofield Reference Bible in many cases and the very values of Christianity that allowed Israel to become a country and to exist to start with. Now, I know that sounds very complicated to you guys that have never listened to the show before, but that's what they've done. So now we're getting massive backlash on Israel from people all over the country. You said that the other day you were watching a video and they were posting about you have to support Israel, and there were like 10,000 comments afterwards says, what are you nuts? We're not going to do this. Why are we doing this?
Yes.
So there you go.
Also, to another health news, this is a pretty wild story that I pulled up earlier. It was talking about placebos work for some psychiatric conditions, but not others. This is one of the reasons why you got to look at a lot of different issues that people are going and having problems with. It says psychological and emotional state of patients can significantly affect the response to placebo treatment. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of times when you go in and you start having actual supplementation and nutrients that some people need, it can fix a lot of issues instead of just giving them drugs. And it goes on to say here that a study showed that people that were dealing with PTSD, major depressive disorders, and ADHD reported the lowest dropout rate of percentage, 17%, when put on a placebo. So just a placebo was helping to reduce a lot of the symptoms they had, which means in most cases, proper supplementation and nutrients could play a very, very key crucial role in reducing some of the symptoms that they're experiencing in most cases. I've had a lot of people that have had issues with depression, had issues with mood, with focus, and just something as simplistic as B-complex and 5-HTP can massively elevate mood.
Cod liver oil.
Cod liver oil is a huge one too, and massively increase cognitive functioning. And again, another one plays a role into sleep. So if you're trying to deal with stuff that's going on, if you've got a lot of things that are happening, focus on the nutrients that you need. Focus on adequate sleep, adequate rest, and activity. I know people, too, that have gotten issues where they start getting depressed, and they're so depressed that they stop doing any activity, which leads to another cyclical rate of more problems. Your body's designed to be active. Your body's designed to be functional. It's not designed to sit there and be lazy, laying on the couch, watching TV, trying to get cheap dopamine feeds all day long. It's supposed to be active. You need to be in at least 20 to 30 minutes a day.
Scroll up. I want to read this.
Yeah, this is a pretty cool study.
Right here. In contrast, schizophrenia had a dropout rate of 41%, followed by panic disorders and mania, which also had high rates. The research found that most participants dropped out of studies because of adverse side effects in obsessive compulsive disorder and panic disorder studies, while the fewest dropouts were seen in the MDD and ADHD trials. Research found that schizophrenia and mania show higher dropouts because patients saw no few improvements while on placebo drugs, while patients with ADHD reported lower dropout rate perceived benefits. So what they're saying basically is you're not going to get the type of response that you thought you were going to get in most cases with these types of drugs.
Right. Period.
And if you don't realize that, you're going to realize that, you know, the placebo in many cases works as well.
Correct.
As the drug did. Because let me tell you about how placebos work. If a person really believes that a drug is being given to them, in many cases that drug wasn't even necessary.
There you go.
There's something else going on, because the brain is extremely complex, especially with the way it communicates with God. See, we're a Tesla transformer coil. All of our cells are. We are an uplink to God Almighty. And so when you start messing with the brain chemistry,
oh yeah,
you start messing with that.
Everything.
Okay? And so a lot of times the body will self-regulate and heal itself, because when we have the blood of Christ that basically sanctifies us, it can restore our DNA. And so if people start thinking they're taking a drug, and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I feel great. I knew a lady years ago who had all kinds of health problems, mental problems, et cetera, et cetera. They put her in the hospital, and there was nothing wrong with her. And about 4 days later, she felt great when she found out there was nothing wrong with them.
Yep.
And see, that's the power of thought.
Yeah.
Thought controls everything.
Controlling your mind.
You could, and I'm going to say this. It's going to sound kind of weird. You could think yourself sick.
You can. I've watched it.
I've seen it. And so you got to realize, and how many times have you heard me say, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Now, there are people who have specific nutrient deficiencies that can cause long-term side effects and degeneration of the body and of the mind. If you don't get a B complex, your brain can't work.
And let me say this too. In certain cases, and that's what I was talking about, schizophrenia here was one of the main ones that had like the highest dropout rate of placebos. Certain cases, those drugs may be needed. They may be.
That's correct.
Rarely. But they may be. So I'm not, don't say, oh, I don't need this, I don't need that. Look at the whole entire picture, because sometimes somebody may need something that may really help them out.
And if you're taking those drugs, don't ever stop taking them, especially when you're on Xanax. Don't ever stop taking
any benzos.
Any benzo, because you could die. And make sure you have the doctor work with you and titrating dosage down and find another doctor that's willing to help you doing something else. The problem is, when you're dealing with mental disorders, it becomes so complex.
Yes.
Most doctors don't want to take the time, or they don't have the time, in order to try to help you with counseling or trying different supplements. What they'll do, they'll stack drugs on you.
Yep.
We had a friend of ours. I'm not going to mention any names. He was having a problem with hypoglycemia.
Yeah.
Well, no, this is a horrible story. And every time he ate sugar, he acted all schizoid. He really did.
Massive blood sugar dysregulation.
Yeah. And he'd have high sugar, low sugar, high sugar, low sugar, heroin problems, hypoglycemia. But then he started eating a bunch of junk food.
Yeah.
And more junk food and more junk food and more junk food.
Exacerbated the problem.
So finally he went to a brain clinic up in Georgia. And they put him on, like, you know,
Paxil.
Lithium. They put him on lithium. And was, that'll fry your brain if you sit on that stuff long enough. And then pretty soon, they had him on another one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one, then another one. Pretty soon, he's on 7 different psychiatric meds, which were never tested together like that. Finally, he turns into like a zombie, doesn't even know what he's doing anymore. So he goes into a rehab clinic to come off all this stuff, only stayed in there for a few weeks, came out, had a massive relapse of depression, and shot himself. He ended up dying.
It's a horrible story.
It's a horrible story. When you take drugs like that, in most cases, they're guessing. It's a prognosis. It's an educated guess. They don't know what they're going to do if you combine them with other drugs.
Well, and like you just said, you don't even know if somebody's having an issue with blood sugar, or they're deficient in B vitamins, or they need omega-3 fats, or they need something else that's going on. you got to look and see what's happening with a lot of these issues and look at them from a base standpoint and say, okay, are there more supplements that we need to take? Are there more things that we need to basically dig into? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you exercising enough? Because those are all things you've got to look at on here. And, you know, that's why I constantly tell people, if you got a question, call us at Team Health Masters. Call us or email us on the website, and we'll be happy to give you some updates. D3 is another one. D3 has been shown many, many studies that low levels of blood D3 and basically deficiency in D3 can lead to depression. That's why seasonal affective disorder, people have this issue because their D3 gets so low during the winter. They're not getting any sunlight. It can be a problem, so be sure to look at it. You know, one thing he said earlier, going back, I pulled this article up. I want to address this real quick. You know, we're having an issue with people coming from other countries and being involved in politics, law enforcement, certain factors. He brought that up. And I brought back the old story that happened with Justine Damon in 2017 when she was shot by the Minnesota police officer who was from Somalia, by the way, came over here when he was like 25, ended up becoming a police officer, Somalian police officer, shot her as he was the passenger in the police car riding shotgun in the cruiser, leaned across the driver, shot her twice in the chest, killed her on the spot, and basically was charged with manslaughter and second degree murder. A lot of people don't realize this was a completely and totally brazen disregard for life. He had absolutely no business being a law enforcement officer. Why in the world he was law enforcement from Somalia? And here's the problem. He only did 4 years in prison, and they overturned his murder conviction. He got released 2 years ago.
Whoa.
I forgot all about this. And here's the problem. He only did 4 years in prison, and they overturned his murder conviction. He got released 2 years ago.
Whoa.
I forgot all about this. They killed her. I mean, it wasn't an accident. This wasn't like, oh, I had a negligent discharge. He straight drew his firearm in a patrol cruiser, which if you guys...
She was in her pajamas.
She was in her pajamas, calling 911.
Yeah.
Because they said there was somebody outside basically being raped, or basically there was a battery charge, assault charge, something's going on. She called them, went up to the driver's side to tell them where she saw something going on. He, in some spastic attempt of whatever, draws his firearm, which if you guys ever carry or run duty
and he
rigs...
He shoots in front of his officer in the car with him.
If you ever run duty rigs in a car, you know it's very difficult to draw swiftly and quickly and cleanly in a vehicle. You don't just accidentally do it, especially in a three retention holster. And so he draws, leans across the driver, shoots her twice in the chest, and then they go out there, they try to give her medical attention, which she's got two hydroshocks in the chest. She's dead on the scene. They overturn it now.
I
got a real problem with this story.
Here's the problem I've got with all of it. Number one, and don't fuss at me. I don't want to hear the fussing. Look at the average IQ scores of different nations. Just do that. Look it up. Somalia has like an average 56 IQ score. Okay, that means they have no fluid reasoning skills. That means they can't comprehend what they're doing in the long-term objective of things. Now, I understand that they don't want a police officer questioning orders. I got that. Same thing with the military. I understand that. But the reality is that you've got to have a certain limit of IQ in which the person can actually pay attention. Now, you think about it for a second. The guy's sitting right here beside me. I'm in the patrol car with him. And he takes a gun and puts it in my face and discharges
twice.
And you realize the concussion blast that could hit me in the eyes gunpowder? And everything else. I mean, the boy's an idiot.
She's unarmed in pajamas.
Yeah, no, and he doesn't have the sense of God-given jackass to reach and shoot across another officer like that, and to kill a bystander trying to call 911 in pajamas, and now he's not found guilty. So to me, this is one of those. Let's see who the judge was
exactly,
and find out if this was another one of those Biden appointees that basically says, "Oh, he can't help it. He was acting the line."
That's exactly right. They say now.
So basically, you've got this beautiful girl. She's really pretty.
She's from Australia.
Got a cool accent. She's running out there trying to call 911. And the guy goes, "You know, you're bothering me because in Somalia we don't put up with women because we're a bunch of misogynist pigs. In most cases, not all cases, and we're just going to go ahead and shoot you now." And so he just doesn't even think about it. And could he? I mean, she's not bearing a weapon. Couldn't he say to his police partner in there, "What do you think we should do at this point?" No reason. He says, "Oh, my gosh, somebody gave me a gun. Oh, my God, I get to use it right now. This is great."
Here's the part, and this goes back to show you the just how inept these departments have gotten with DEI and these programs. In 2 years as a police officer, Muhammad Noor had three formal complaints against him, two of which were pending. In separate cases, he's being sued for allegedly assaulting a woman on duty, already assaulted a woman on duty. In September 18, he was reported in 15. Two psychiatrists and other training officers raised concerns of Knorr's mental state for police work. 2 months before the shooting, Knorr had allegedly pointed a gun at the head of a driver he pulled over for a minor speeding traffic citation. This guy was unhinged.
Well, he was dumb. He's
stupid. He was dumber than a box of rocks, and he was unhinged, and he was not mentally capable of being law enforcement.
But because of DEI,
they wouldn't get rid of him.
They wouldn't get rid of him.
And so it's so crazy. This part, the city settled with the family $20 million settlement over this. And yet he still gets released from prison early. So,
you know, a few months ago.
This is an example to show you this is happening.
A few months ago, I'm going to church. Going to church. Okay? Tell you the story in a little detail here. Going to church, and it's like 10 o'clock, 10:15. Church starts at basically 11. I'm running a little bit late, and I go around a corner and go down a hill, and I meet a police officer coming the other direction.
Yeah.
Okay? Over there on Lynchburg Road.
Yep.
And so he comes around. I see him. I'm on a double yellow line, so I know not to pass. Plus, it's clear, but I still know not to pass. He goes down the other side of the hill. He can't see me. I can't see him anymore. And suddenly, you know, I went ahead and passed on a single yellow line. I could pass legally. And all of a sudden, I turn around, and here he comes with me, sirens and lights. And I think myself,
Out of nowhere.
And I think myself, what is wrong with him? And he says, this can't be me. I haven't done anything. So he sure gets behind me. And so I just sit there for a minute. I'm just driving. I'm looking at him with the lights. I'm like, all right, this guy's confused. Finally, I pull over on Windsor Court. I remember the name of the road I pulled over. And he pulled me over. He goes, you passed on a double yellow line. I looked at him. I said, what is wrong with you? You were down in a hole. I'm down in a hole. You know you didn't see me. Why are you pulling me? And no, I would never do that because you just passed me. Dumber than a box of rocks.
Yes.
Okay. And he got all blowed up. He bowed up on me. I said, dude, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm going to church. I said, you're going to make me late now. And finally he goes, well, I'm going to let you go this time. I said, you let me go for what? So the next day I went over, and I mean, I raised H.E. double sticks in his precinct in Lake Alfred. I said, what is wrong with this guy? I mean, he just pulls me for nothing.
Yeah.
So you have to ask yourself a question. Was he Somalian? did he have a 56 IQ? I mean, I'm just asking. But I'm talking stupid. And you think to yourself, and you give them a badge and gun,
a firearm.
And you tell them to protect you? Nah, man.
One of the good things I like DeSantis has been cracking down on both sections of it. He just came in now, and he signed the law banning random boat searches without cause from FWC.
Good.
This was huge. This was a problem if you guys have ever boated down here in Florida. FWC, due to the maritime law in Florida, had the legal ability to stop any boat at any time for anything they wanted. Doesn't even matter if you're cruising at wake speed, minding your business, two people on the boat, wearing life jackets, driving, smiling.
No alcohol,
doing nothing. They can stop you, board you, search you, and ask you anything they want, detain you as long as they want because they're FWC. And they can do whatever they want.
They did have a lot of authority. It was ridiculous.
Oh, I know. No reasonable cause at all. No, nothing. Doesn't matter. Well, we want to stop you. We want to see what you're doing. We got life jackets. We got a boating license. Registration's intact. We weren't speeding. We just felt like stopping you. Okay? Just for no reason.
Yeah.
Because we're FWC and we can. FWC had to have some brakes put on because there's been numerous cases because I know a prosecuting attorney who deals them on a regular basis, and he has told me repeatedly that they massively overstepped their bounds on what they should be able to do because essentially there's not really anybody higher law enforcement in the state of Florida.
No. I remember I was talking to an attorney up in Tallahassee, and they had actually stopped a guy because his net was like an eighth of an inch too small.
Remember
his fishing net. And he had a cast net instead of like, you know, half inch. It was like, you know, half quarter inch or something like that. Something stupid like that. And they stopped him. They straight arrested him, handcuffed him, took him to jail because his casting net.
Well, see, and what they did was they did this under the auspice of a safety inspection. This is what they called it. So they could stop you at any time and say, we're doing a safety inspection. Why? Well, we have the right to do so. So DeSantis stopped this. He also made sure he maintained the aspect of the manatee zones. don't speed. If you're down here, don't be speeding manatees. So we have a lot of them. Manatees are cool. They're really cool. Yeah. They're chill. They're like the cows of the ocean. Like, they're a bunch of plankton. And so they get hit a lot on boats because people don't want to basically pull their props up. And they want to try to run through no wake zones at 15, 20 miles an hour because they're in a hurry or trying to show off. Don't do that. We don't have a lot of manatees left, and they're kind of cool.
Pull your props up if you have an outboard engine high enough to maintain the cooling of the engine. Yep. Make sure you can get water flow through it. But give them
don't have to drop all the way down.
Give them a break. It doesn't have to go 2 feet down into the water.
They're already extremely endangered. They're not real bright, but they're really fun and playful.
You scratched that one, remember?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're not supposed to touch them anymore.
But if they come to you, you can.
Yeah, but so like we're Crystal Springs. Water's crystal clear. We're snorkeling. And these guys just pop up. The man's just pop up. They'll put their doggone like fin around you. They'll sit there and look at you and play with you. They're really chill. And so just watch out for the boats. But this had to get under control. This is the Boating Freedom Act that DeSantis signed 2 weeks ago. It's just popped up. Now I want to cover that because that whole safety check for no reason, especially if you – now, again, if you're being stupid, if you're speeding – you're going to get pulled over by FWC, and they are going to give you a ticket. I've seen that happen multiple times. They're like the FHP of the water.
I got pulled one time by a month for a speeding.
I know you did.
No, this is years ago. I'm in a Trans Am. Had the big screaming chicken on the hood. This is way back when.
The screaming chicken. It was. Those are cool, though.
It'll be a Phoenix. Like Burt Reynolds had, but mine was white, you know, and Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
So I'm flying down Interstate 4, having a good time. I'm doing about 70 miles an hour. He's doing like 70 miles an hour, so I eased around him. Turns the lights on me.
He's FWC?
Oh, yeah. He pulls me over, and I'm looking at him. I said, what are you doing, dude? I said, you're an alligator cop.
Oh, man, that was...
Don't ever tell them they're an alligator cop. He pulls out a ticket book. Had never been opened
Pulls the plastic off.
Yeah, pulls the plastic off. It says, I'm writing you a ticket. It's the first one I've ever given because you're going too fast. And I'm like, oh. I said, can you write a ticket?
Oh, yeah.
But so I end up having they didn't have ticket clinic back then. I think I had to take the class and
probably
the whole thing.
Did.
Yeah, but it was interesting.
Watch out for most of the time now, because, and I'm just going to put this out there, if you come down to Florida, speed limits are kind of weird down here. I mean, even state troopers, they don't start pulling you over to like mid-80s and a 70.
Well, 79.
79, mid-80s. I mean, sometimes it's just.
They don't go over 79.
Yeah, they may get you that.
Excuse me, I didn't say that. Always obey the speed limit.
Always obey the speed limit at all times. We're not giving you any type of legal advice whatsoever. Always follow all road regulation laws when you're down here in the state of Florida. Anyways.
And don't get an FWC officer mad.
No.
Don't call him an alligator.
Just be respectful.
I was just joking around with him. He didn't find it funny at all.
He didn't find it funny at all. This is also one last story I want to come here. Sanders and King, this is interesting, have now introduced the In Prescription Drug Ads Now Act. If it passes, it will ban all prescription drug ads on TV, radio, print, digital platforms.
Man, I hope this happens.
They're going to have a fit of a time pushing this through. But this is one of the first times this has ever been introduced.
Europe's already done it.
Says the ban would hit drug companies hard. They make back in sales up to five times as much as they spend on commercials every single week. They also affect the income streams of major TV news networks.
Almost all the revenues coming from it because nobody watches it anymore. That's right.
No.
Nobody watches TV anymore.
This is why I don't even watch TV. It said the absurdity of TV commercials pushing out outrageously expensive prescription drugs has gotten out of hand. They want to take on the greed of the pharmaceutical industry and ban these bogus ads. And so it says the In Prescription Drugs Ads Now Act. If you have access to any of your Congress, you ever email them, I would definitely encourage them to push this through. There's going to be a lot of push for this because I guarantee you pharmaceutical companies are going to lobby huge to get this bill
dropped. Yeah, but, you know, they have so much power, Austin.
That's the problem.
You know, and they contribute so much money to these doggone representatives, these senators and congressmen. And so it's going to be hard to get this one to go through.
Listen to this. Prescription drugs account for 30.7% of ad minutes across all evening news programs, including ABC, CNN, Fox, NBC, MSNBC, Wall Street.
$5 billion on TV ads alone last year.
31% of ad minutes. That means a third of all commercials on news is prescription drugs. A third.
It's not just the news. It's all including all the programming.
This is just talking about the news outlets.
And it's actually more than 30% when you look at all the other outlets.
I guarantee you it is. It's probably close to 50. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't watch TV anymore. I got rid of cable years ago
because
I got so sick of it. An hour's show would come out. I'd be all excited to watch a show. 35 minutes of it would be commercials. It reached a point where over half of the show was commercials.
They say, well, you have arthritis problems, so then now we're going to go ahead and run you through you're going to go out on a green meadow, and you're going to have a net. And I saw this, and they're chasing butterflies with a net.
And they go, oh, the commercial, we feel great, you know? And all of a sudden the ad comes at the very end. By the way, you can die from this.
Yeah. Side effects of sudden death.
Sudden death.
Cardiovascular disease.
But nobody remembers that. They only remember the butterfly in the nest. Oh, I want to run like a butterfly again. Well, no, you may die like a punk.
If you don't think the pharmaceutical companies, if they spend billions in ads, think how much money they spend in the psychological warfare program department to design these ads to get you hooked on drugs you don't need to be on.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that
Edward
for a second.
Bernays, baby.
They're not spending $5 billion on ads because they're putting some bogus ad up that they're coming up with some intern. Oh, that's a cool ad. Let's put it up there.
No.
They're doing psychological warfare tactics. They know exactly what
they're
doing.
Edward Bernays, who was the father of advertising, who taught everybody how to do this, was basically the cousin of Sigmund Freud.
Yes.
And they're all a bunch of, they were both, by the way, Kabbalist, Luciferian, Son of God of Satan boys. And it's all about manipulation.
Psychological subliminal warfare. They make you think things that you don't even think about without you even knowing you think about it.
So here's what I want you to think about. Jesus Christ is the same.
There you go.
Today and forever. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And this is the day the Lord hath made that we will rejoice and we will be glad at it. Because we have a relationship with God Almighty through Christ Jesus. Why should we be upset when we can do all things through Christ? I love you guys. I prayed for you yesterday at the altar. You guys are amazing. Thank you for your support. Thank you for basically getting your supplement from us.
If you need the D3, we got you on that.
We got 18 bottles right here.
If you want. I got 12 right here.
24.
I got 24.
Okay, I got 36.
Appreciate you guys.
We love you guys so much. Thanks again for your support.